Rick, let's begin with the Federal Reserve and the long-anticipated decision to go ahead and raise interest rates.
Well, it was long anticipated. And in fact, as this segment airs, it's been a year and a day since the Fed raised interest rates, and not cataclysmic in the markets. It was well anticipated, of course. So we saw what was really expected, that bond yields have continued to rise over the past a couple of weeks, so that the 10-year Treasury is now tracking well above where it was after its historic lows in early to mid-summer of this year. And then the stock market, of course. Dow is poised to hit a historic high, 20,000 for that index. And the other indexes are tracking in a similar fashion. They're up strongly. And that's all about anticipation of more aggressive fiscal policy. We don't know what monetary policy will be like when Chair Yellen's term ends a year from now, who would be appointed to replace her. But the betting is that over the next year, we'll see some interest rate increases, and that we'll also see, under the new government coming in, under the new administration, we'll see substantial borrowing in order to finance, whether it's tax cuts or infrastructure spending. That tends to put upward pressure on interest rates, and it's an indicator that there will be more aggregate demand out there in the economy, driving business at factories, service producers, and employment as well.
This rate hike was just the second since 2008. The forecast is for three more rate hikes in the coming year. What do you think about that?
I think that that's an entirely reasonable forecast. We just haven't been getting, however, the growth that the Fed has been predicting. They have been underestimating growth consistently now in every forecast that they do, gosh, for 6 or 8 years. And that means that when they issue their growth forecast and when markets absorb that, normally, if we were to get the growth forecasted by the Fed, that would call for a rate increase. However, we just haven't been getting it. You know, when you and I sat here 14 months ago and talked about rate increases, I said that there would have been three probably in 2016, but there weren't. It's because growth came in weaker than expected. It looks like we're going to finish 2016 with a GDP growth rate after inflation of just about 2%, 1.9%, 2%. And so when you consider that one out of those 2% is due to population growth, almost one, about 0.9% population growth, that means that there's just not enough GDP growth to keep businesses investing in productive capacity. I mean, if demand to your firm is only going up 1 or 2% a year, then you can probably handle that just through productivity increases, making your existing workers more productive with better computer equipment, better software, better supply chain logistics. You don't need to go out and build that new factory, which would be the thing that would really send investment spending on its way up.
Let's talk just briefly in terms of how this rate hike will affect consumers.
Well, for consumers, it won't have much effect in the near term unless you're out there in the market for a car or a home. Those are the things that people buy on credit. It's clear that those rates will be tending upward rather than tending downward as they have been for the last year or so. However, we're also seeing that wholesale and retail prices, there's some upward pressure in wholesale prices. Those are the things that the Fed is looking at to say that the economy is stable enough to raise interest rates more during the coming year, get us back on a more normal trajectory.
Let's take a moment to talk about Florida's economy. Economists met this week to talk about the growth, what they're expecting, and it's looking fairly well, but not enough to avoid budget constraints. Tell us more.
There are serious budget constraints this year. A bit of good news from the legislature, obviously, two pieces really. One is that the Revenue Estimating Conference met and upped their estimate of what general revenue, the single largest fund, it's mostly funded by sales taxes, upped their estimate of what that would be, which means lawmakers might not have to make some of the very painful choices that await them. The other good thing that happened was that House Speaker Richard Corcoran, released his committee assignments and committee structures, and he actually will have an oversight committee for Triumph Gulf Coast for that $300 million in funding, which has been received in the state treasury but has yet to be appropriated. And that committee is tasked with making sure that the spending occurs on appropriate projects, primarily education and infrastructure, and that it occurs in the 8 Northwest Florida counties. And it's staffed, it's chaired by our representative from Panama City and co-chaired by our representative from Pensacola. And so overall, good news on the Triumph Gulf Coast funding front.
Briefly and lastly, Rick, let's look at the recent survey conducted by the Haas Center for the city of Pensacola, showing that residents believe the city's heading in the right direction.
Yes, it was a good response in terms of people's perception about the direction the city's headed. However, there were concerns, stormwater infrastructure, sidewalks. But as you say, a good survey in the sense that most people feel that the city's headed in the right way.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.